Okay, welcome everybody. My name is Chloe Ballatore. I'm a relationship and communication expert. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Want Institute, and I use the tools of transactional analysis as created by Eric Byrne. I use the tools of androgynous semantic realignment, which was created by Pat Allen, and I use tools that I've created myself because I've been doing this work for about 12 or 13 years now. Time flies. Wow. I've written four books on this work as well. I'm going to put my credentials into the chat. So if you want to check those out, those are all available on Amazon. The first book, How to Live, Find, Love, and Keep It, is the kind of basic manual to this work. So if you're looking for a reference, that's it. I'm also over 20 years married myself, so all the stuff that I'm going to be talking about tonight, in addition to being based on established psychological and scientific principles, I have also done myself and used these tools myself and continue to use these tools. When I first learned about this work, I was super skeptical about it because I had a lot of experience going to therapy where you talk and somebody listens and they don't say too much. And you have that experience of being validated and heard, but you don't necessarily change your life. And while I think therapy is a very valuable tool, after a certain amount of time, I was like, ugh, like this is just boring and I'm not changing anything. And so, when I saw an incredible result in a friend of mine, and I really saw her transform her life in a 3-year period from being, a very, she had been a single mom, she had been a teenage mom, so she was always broke, she didn't have much of a career going, to really marrying the man of her dreams, getting like making over $1 million a year. I mean, all her dreams came true, and it was kind of shocking. I will maintain that to this day, I've never seen results from any other modality the way I do from this work. And so that encourages me a lot. I'm very much about results. So I don't really believe in doing things unless you're going to get a result. And that's one of the reasons I love this work so much. Okay, so I'm going to start with just a basic description of the principles that this work is based on, which again are very established. What's unique about this work are the tools to execute on those principles. And that's what we're really going to focus on in the next part. My little background will probably take about 10 minutes. And then the rest of the time, I'm going to be working with you guys, answering your questions. My specialty is dating and relationships. But since these tools are based on universal principles, really, you can apply them to anything. And ultimately, every relationship is about the relationship that you have with yourself. And so that's where these tools really come in. Okay. So when we talk about successful relationships, what we're chiefly talking about relationships that are balanced between feminine energy and masculine energy. You may have noticed that this is a world organized around duality, right? We have pain and pleasure, we have night and day, we have black and white, and all the gradations in between, which is the connotation of the swoop in the yin yang symbol, right? It's meant to show that these energies are somewhat fluid. And if you're an authentically feminine energy person, as you get older, women tend to get more masculine once we go through menopause and some of our hormones drop off. And men, once they go through andropause, similarly become a little more feminine. So, again, this is you'll have a unique, authentic balance that is true to yourself. And then want the balance that is authentic to your relationships. And it will change and it may adjust over time. And so that's part of doing this work is knowing how to navigate change. That's what the title of my second book, New Ways of Being, The Pain of Change, because a lot of people don't realize when they're going to traditional therapy that when you start making changes, even changes for the better, you're going to experience pain. And so that scares a lot of people. They don't like pain, right? Nobody does. Who likes pain? Nobody. But the brain does not rewire itself on pleasure. The brain rewires itself on pain. And so the actual process of change is a painful process. And so I help people navigate which is the pain that change is taking place and which is the pain that change needs to take place. And that's what we go really focus a lot on in our module two. Because in addition to running these groups, I also have private sessions. I work with men, I work with women, I work with couples, I work with teenagers. And then I also teach this work several times a year. All my courses are also available asynchronously, but I'm also teach them live in smaller, more private groups. And the recordings then are just private. So, you know, that's a really good option if you're interested in learning more of this work. And I have a module two coming up. But again, you have to complete the module one first. Okay, so what is feminine and what is masculine? Because there's a lot of misunderstanding about these terms. Sometimes I'll interchange them with yin and yang, yin being feminine and yang being masculine, simply because the terms feminine and masculine are very charged in our society. But basically, when we talk about all of us are both. All of us are feminine and masculine. And so we all have a right side of the brain that is more yin, feminine, receptive, passive, patient, and vulnerable. The yin energy is the energy of creativity, of sensuality, of sexuality, of feelings, of magic. Yin energy is in the world to make it fun, but it's not of the world. And then all of us have a left brain that is more, is that seat of single-minded thought, right? And this is the masculine. This is competing, conquering, controlling. This is giving. The yin is receiving. This is yang is taking care of, achieving. Most of us are in our yang energy, for example, when we're at work, because work is all about doing and achieving and impressing people, right? Sometimes it's hard to, for female identified people to turn off that yang energy when they come from work. And so I work with a lot of alphas, meaning you have a strong feminine side and a strong masculine side. An alpha is not a bully, but is somebody who has two sides that are strong, meaning your heart and your head tend to argue. That's what these tools are for. This rubric will really help you. So if that's you, you're in the right place. So I help a lot of high achieving women, for example, inhabit their feminine in their personal lives, because when you're in the fe if you're an authentic feminine energy person, you need to feel good to do good, and so you run the risk of burnout. So that's something that I help people with a lot. Oftentimes, we tend to have unsuccessful relationships because we have unresolved childhood trauma, and almost all the problems in relationships come from unresolved childhood trauma. Just because you grow up doesn't mean that you grow out of behaviors, patterns, coping mechanisms. And when we're little, when we're between the ages of 0 to 12 specifically, we go through a number of critical development windows. And what that means is that everything that happens to us in that period of time has a greater power or greater valence than the things that happen later in life. That's Freud's work, for he was the first person to point that out, and he was right. Now, Freud believed that that's it, you're cooked. He actually believed you're mostly cooked by age three, which is almost always pre-verbal, or mostly pre-verbal. But we now know that the brain can change. And there's a great book about that called The Brain That Changes Itself by Norman Doidge. The brain is plastic and we can retrain it. That book is a lot about retraining the brain for strokes and stroke victims. But you can also interpolate it for any kind of psychological work, because that's what we do when we change our patterns of the past. We rewire our brains. When we talk about stopping self-sabotage, we have to rewire the patterns in our brains, because when we're little children, we adopt survival mechanisms In order to stay on good terms with the people who own the refrigerator, right? The people who run our lives, because human children are very dependent. And so when we're in that state, we often have to sacrifice our authenticity in order to adapt. And based on that experience, we form survival conclusions. And these strategies that we come up with, we think are existential truths. But when we bring them into our adult life and specifically into our relationships, they tend to sabotage. Okay. And so it's the subconscious mind and the unconscious mind will work on a level that the conscious mind can't even conceive of, because you can be working really hard consciously to not marry your dad, and then you end up marrying him anyways. So it's just one of those weird things. Oh, thanks for putting that in there, Albert. It's one of those weird things. Until you can become conscious of it, until you can think the thought and the mouth can speak the words, you are doomed to repeat your patterns. And that's called the repetition compulsion. That's from Freud and also a psychologist named Alice Miller, whose work I love. She talks a lot about the repetition compulsion. And it basically boils down to the fact that we're doomed to repeat that which we don't understand. And we will repeat these patterns because they're familiar and that brings a certain amount of comfort, but that won't bring you joy and that won't help you actualize as a person and as your authentic self. And so that is something that I also work with people on a lot. Okay, I've been talking for a while, so now I'm going to open it up for questions. You can ask a personal question. You can raise your hand. You can put it in the chat. You can ask a question about something that I said earlier. You can also give me your updates because you guys know I love to hear your updates. Okay. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Chloe.
Welcome back.
Thank you. So from last week, the update I had was I have been trying to do the five flirts.
Good.
So far I've only been doing it at work because I work so much that I don't know where else I would go to do the other one. But while I figure that out, I'm doing this. But so far I've only worked up the courage to do like 2 to 3 seconds, like eye contact. That's all I can do.
Okay.
But I haven't had any major, like no progress. But
Right.
yeah, like nothing. But there is this one guy, who, like, I've seen him around. Like I kind of know him, and he knows me. But I've noticed that every time I like walk by where he sits, he always has like a fangirl. Like there's a fangirl fawning over him every time. I go to the cafeteria and there's a fangirl and some other people he's sitting with,
He's a
and
popular guy.
yeah, and he there's always somebody hanging. Like there's a girl who sits right in front of where he sits, and she. So we have the ability to sit or stand at our cubicles. We can raise our cubicle. She raises her cubicle the whole day. She's standing there like a hawk guarding his spot where he sits. So it's like I don't know. Like I don't know if this means he's insecure. Why would he need somebody, fawning over him?
But why is that
And
on him? Why isn't it on her?
that's a good point.
I mean, she can
Because
do her thing.
because he's
She's
allowing it.
probably trying to scare other women off, right? It's pretty masculine. It's a pretty aggressive move.
Wait, she is or he
Yeah,
is?
she is.
Oh, okay.
You know,
Well,
it sounds
yeah.
pretty territorial. But you can just ignore that and do your thing.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so, but I don't know. So I'm
It's
just like
working. She is intimidating you.
well, yeah, but there's times where he's not with her, and then
Good.
like when I bump into him, we usually talk,
Good.
but just like a little bit, but I mean it's just kind of weird, but yeah, so that's my progress. I think I'm supposed to do 5 seconds eye contact, is that right?
Yes. And I
Yeah.
told you, you're gonna feel like a whore when you do that. But That is the clear signal you need to send, because I'm sure you've been coming to this group long enough to know men can't always pick it up if you don't do the full 5 seconds.
Okay, well, I will
So
keep
try
at
that,
it.
and then try to do just like one other flirt when in your free time on your Saturday or Sunday or your night time off. Just try to find a place where you like the look of the men that go there and plant yourself 45 minutes to an hour and just start sussing out different places. A lot of life is about trying different things. A lot of life is about just putting in that effort and reaching out to the world for what you want, knowing that you don't know what will happen. But you're open, right? You don't know, of course, the exact guy you're going to meet, where exactly it's going to be. You know what I'm saying? But the more energy that you put into it and the effort and the thought and the going to the different places and practicing the flirting, you're going to start making momentum. And then you meeting somebody will become an inevitability.
Okay, 'cause you're putting there's like you're giving all these chances to the universe to.
Yes, it's this work is all about energy. I mean, really, life is about energy. You can meet a very good looking guy and be totally turned off about of from him if his energy is off, right? And sometimes you'll think, oh God, I'm in love with that actor because there's like a marriage of an actor in a role that's very appealing. But then you see an interview with the actor and he's a totally different person and you're not in love with him anymore, right? So that's why the great thing about this work is it starts to change your energy and everything starts there. So that's why you often will see other things happening at the same time. That's why you get so much momentum. You're looking for a guy, but you get a promotion. You know what I mean? Like a lot of times, everything happens at once.
Okay, thank you.
You are so welcome and good for you. 2 to 3 seconds. That's a good start. And I love that you're talking to this guy. Just hang in there. Keep going. Okay. Excellent work. And thank you for sharing. Okay. So, just for the newcomers who don't know about the five flirts, these are the five flirts. And what you have to know before you start the five flirts is, are you in the feminine energy or the masculine energy? Feminine energy. Okay. The energies often follow the gender you were born with, but not always. And it's perfectly fine to be a masculine woman. It's perfectly fine to be a feminine man. One's not better than the other. If you're in the feminine energy, which means you're a feel good to do good, which means that you want your feelings cherished over your thoughts respected. Everyone wants both, but your feelings are more important. Then when you do your flirting, you're going to give the masculine energy person 5 seconds of eye contact and a smile. That's the signal to that masculine energy person that they can approach. Okay. Now, four of those are going to be done during the course of your day. So you're buying groceries, you're walking your dog, whatever it is you're doing, you see someone that catches your fancy, give them that smile and 5 seconds of eye contact at the same time. And that is the signal if they are interested and they want to approach. One day a week, you're going to plant yourself somewhere. So that's what I was saying to Elizabeth. Find a spot, the Starbucks by the fire station, a hotel bar, wherever you like the look of the men that are there. And sit there, go alone, sit 45 minutes to an hour, and do your 5 seconds of eye contact and smile there. And that gives a masculine energy person a chance to approach you. Okay, why am I sweating? Exactly. I know it's very intense when you do it, and it sounds very simple when I explain it. But when you do it, like Elizabeth has already expressed, it can be like nerve-wracking and very intimate. And so just prepare yourself for that. Just know that that's going to happen. Okay. Well, but what if he's married? Well, yeah, of course. Look for the ring. Look for the shadow of the ring. Try to find that out first. If you can't, you can't. That's fine too. Hopefully they'll tell you pretty soon. Okay, I think Davida. Okay. Hi, Davida. Am I saying your right name right?
It's Davida Rochelle. I offer Rochelle because that's easier for people.
Oh, okay. Davida. Hi, Davida. Welcome back. How can I help you?
This is a question I've been asked, wondering about for a very long time. I've discussed it in the past with all my girlfriends, and I'm going to ask, instead of giving the specifics, because it's not really one instance, I'm going to ask, if you don't want to speak for yourself, for the many women that you have counseled over the years, how do you handle the issue of, and I try to bring it up very early, preferably before you get into the sexual relationship, such as this is an example. I will say, I am not bisexual, but I'll mention a girlfriend. And sometimes the men hint that they want a three-way, or if it's with two women, because that's in the media. How do you handle if you're on a different, realize that so many things you get along with, but this is one issue. You might have an excellent sexual relationship, but they want to try a three-way, or they are disappointed you're not bisexual, or they want to meet your girlfriend. Something happens where that's the mentality. And I'm wondering for you, who've known a lot of women in happy relationships and marriages, how do they handle it?
Okay, good question. Because it's kind of a hot topic lately. It's not a new topic. This stuff
No.
has been around for, 50,
No.
60. I mean, at least since I was born. I remember my parents had like open marriage books at their house. But, look, it's not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm assuming that you're not interested in that. Is that correct? Okay. So you're not interested in that. It's not that there's anything immoral or wrong. It's all about a negotiation. So you just say, when it comes up, just say, I'm not comfortable with that. If they try to pressure you, that's a red flag because they don't care about your feelings, right? Now, if you are interested, then go right ahead, partake. Usually these things do need to be negotiated though. So if you were interested, you might need to set some ground rules. I've had clients who've tried some of these things and they set ground rules, like no intercourse, or you can only have intercourse with me, or only she and I will be together and you'll be watching, or whatever it is. But I do not recommend that you do one of these things or enter into one of these arrangements unless you want to, because I also have clients who have felt compelled to do it because their partner wants it so badly and really regretted it and then wanted to get out of it. And then the partner is like, but I know you like women. I saw you. And they're like, no, I was just doing that for you. And it can get really messy. So if your instinct is not to do it, then don't do it. And in my experience, I do have clients who are polyamorous, but I would say to anyone listening that be mindful when you're indulging in having sex or intercourse with multiple partners, because it can sometimes burn you out and it can sometimes numb you and desensitize you from making connections. Look, we live in what is predominantly a monogamous society. Unless you're living in a culture in which there's multiple wives. But I'm going to assume that if you're in this room, you're living in what is scripted as a basically monogamous society. And so, you can dabble in these things, but it takes a lot to go against that scripting. And so I see people trying some of these things oftentimes and then it not getting the result that they necessarily want. But sometimes something else good has come out of it. I've also seen that. So I don't know. I don't moralize about these things, but it should be enough to tell a partner, I'm not comfortable with that. And if it's not enough, that's information that you need to know that that partner is not cherishing your feelings. Does that help?
Yes, I find that I am not bisexual, and I tell them that, and I'm not sure why they would want to meet a girlfriend. I do mention it, but I say my girlfriend and I have completely different tastes, and she's not bisexual either. We have different tastes in men. I did think it interesting because I remember Dr. Phil, not that I believe anything he says, but he once said that all couples, where usually the woman feels pressured into trying something, they end up breaking up. She says that, and all the people that I've listened to online, hardly anyone says that opening up your relationship, you know, soft swinging, we hear about that, you know, from that group
That
of
show, yeah.
S and everything else. And I am shocked. The one thing I was shocked at, the absolute disaster that happened. And
Right.
I can't understand why, even though I'm not bisexual, I'm not interested. And I've tried to bring this up to men, and they who might have proposed it. And this is my life. I mean, men propose it, I mean, or discuss it. They're not necessarily dating, having sex. It's just this topic comes up because it's a hot topic.
Right.
I'm shocked. Why does it always cause such problems? And that LDS group is a classic example. I think they all divorced or split up.
Yeah. Well,
I'd like to ask your answer of why it doesn't work so I can tell the men that or the people I've discussed this
like I said,
with.
part of it is the epi scripting of the society we live in, you know? Like, even if we lived in France, it would be slightly different because in France, there's a little bit more open-mindedness about having like a mistress or multiple lovers or whatever. But here, we're not like that. And so going up against the epi scripting is very difficult. And you don't need to explain to him what the reasons are. You can just say, I've noticed it doesn't really work out. It tends to desensitize people. It tends to separate people more than bring them together. You know, that's the bottom line.
I didn't know that. I was just curious about the
Okay.
subject matter because it's in the media so much.
Yeah, good. You're so welcome. I hope that helps. Okay. Okay, what if he's married? Okay, we got that. Okay. So, any other questions? You can put in the chat. You can raise your hand. Again, it can be about dating relationships, communication problems. These tools are really good in awkward situations and conflicts. So, you don't have to do it all the time, but that is when they really come into play. Okay, so yeah, work situations, family, any questions? I know sometimes it can be hard to share in a room of strangers, but sometimes it's easier. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Chloe.
Welcome. How can I help you?
I was wondering, what are your thoughts on kind of how prevalent or how common it is to wait until marriage these days
You
for
mean
non-religious folks?
for intercourse?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I have a I take a lot of time to warm up to people. And that was just something that was on my mind. If I were to have it, I would really want it to be kind of a soul connection with someone. But this topic is something that kind of comes up a lot, obviously.
Okay. So, for women, we bond when we have intercourse. And that's why having intercourse before you know somebody can be a little bit dangerous for your mental health and emotional health, because you can get bonded to somebody that you don't even know, and that later you discover isn't even good for you. Right? But because oxytocin releases in the brain on penetration, oral, anal, or vaginal, you often, and that doesn't happen every time, but most of the time, you, especially if you're in like your fertile years on estrogen, you can get bonded. And then you're a little bit at a disadvantage, right? Because you don't know if you're ever really even going to see that person again unless you're in a committed relationship. So I always advise clients to just know what they're doing when they're going into an intercourse situation and to be transparent about it, to your partner. To men, let the person know. You just here to play for one night, or are you like really interested? What I advise people, women, to say in those moments is, I'm really flattered that you want to have intercourse, or however you want to say it. I'm really turned on too. I'm really attracted to you too. But I know for me, that I'm going to catch feelings if I if we do that. And so I you can, you know, I just turned it on a reality show recently. I'm a sex relationship girl. Like, we need to be in a relationship. It has to be exclusive. It has to be consistent. There has to be longevity. So that has to be articulated at some point before the intercourse starts. Now, you can still have like other sexual contact, right? He can go down on you, you can give him a hand job, you guys can make out, you can sleep over, you can manually stimulate, whatever it is. But just for whatever reason, that's how women's biology works. When we have intercourse, we tend to get bonded. It also stops you somewhat from getting to know the other person, right? Because once you have intercourse, you get very excited about the intercourse, and then you're all involved in that. And sometimes it'll take months, for that excitement to die down before you actually get to know the other person. I mean, technically, it takes 3 years for the romantic projection to end. But, you know, a lot of times having intercourse too quickly does prevent you from getting to know each other. So, you know, you can have at it and do what you want. Just understand what the risks of it are. And yeah, you know, for me, I like to protect myself and mitigate my vulnerability a little bit. Does that make sense? Cindy? Oops.
Yes, it does. I
Okay.
was cute.
Okay, good. Okay, yeah. Try that and let me know how it goes. I'd love to hear your guys' updates and how you're using these tools in the field and everything. Okay. Ashley. Hi, Ashley.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Welcome. How can I help you?
I just want to let you know that, wow, you are amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. My question is this. Would you, I mean, is it normal for a guy to hire a prostitute? I mean, would you date a man like that? I mean, like, literally, I just thought that was
Okay,
so awkward,
so
but
is it normal?
yeah.
Well, you know, I don't like to say abnormal, normal, because I don't like to moralize and be judgmental about things. But I would say that I've known men to do it and I've known men not to do it. And I wouldn't say that one kind of person is necessarily better than the other, you know. I've known women to do it, you know, hire women. I've really only known women to hire women. I've never known a woman to hire a man. But, you know, and then I've also had clients. We had somebody in this group actually a couple months ago. I've also had clients who are just desperate for some kind of sexual contact. No, they can't really be in a relationship. And, you know, so they're doing that or they're doing the massage thing, you know, getting the hand job. So people just, you know, they find whatever they can. I mean, I don't think it's inherently a bad thing, but I think it's something that people can get addicted to, and it can become a bad thing if it's done. An addiction is basically something that's relatively normal, but done in an abnormal way. So it kind of depends on the context. You know, if you're in a relationship and you're still getting girls on the side, then obviously that's not going to work. But, you know, different circumstances call for different things. And we are social creatures that desperately need connection. And if you can't get connection any other way, you know. It's nice to have that available. Does that make sense? Ashley, are you there? I'm trying to unmute you. Yes, I can hear you now.
Yeah, you made a really good point. I didn't even notice this. Like you said, whether or not it's they're addicted to it. Yeah. Okay, got it. Okay, I got the answer now.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
Okay, good.
thank you.
You are so welcome. Okay. Jennifer.
Hello. Okay. Thank you for hosting this. This is great. I want to get your thoughts about a situation I'm currently going through and relationship with my boyfriend of 4.5 years about 3 weeks ago. So it's very fresh. And last week I reached out to an ex, but was more a friend, like above all else, we were very deep friends, and
Okay.
I've actually missed him, over these 4.5 years.
Right.
Not to where I would reach out, but I'm unattached now, and I'm like curious, how is he? How is he doing? How is his children? And I'm not interested in a romantic relationship, but I am interested in
Is he
rekindling
single?
that. Yes, he is.
Okay.
And I'm struggling with we kind of want to see each other. Like, let's go to dinner and hang out. But I'm feeling guilt about that. And I'm not sure why. I don't know if it's because my breakup is so fresh and I feel like that's like too soon, but it's not romantic. So I'm struggling with why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling.
Okay. So who broke up with who?
I broke up with my boyfriend.
Okay. And why did you do that? Just nutshell.
I was ready to move in after 4.5 years and move the relationship further, and he was not ready to.
Oh, okay. Wow. You really waited. Good for you. Okay. Well, good. I mean, that takes a lot. So you brought up a couple things that I just want to call your attention to. So of course you didn't reach out to this guy during the time that you were with this other guy, because as we know, we don't really nurture relationships with the opposite sex when we're in committed relationships, right? That's just not a thing. So you obviously have a little bit of romantic feelings left over for this guy. You don't need to feel guilty though about asking him out, but understand that if you are interested in him and you set up the date and ask him out and do all that, you're technically putting yourself in the masculine. Is that what you want?
No, in fact, he asked me out. He's like, let's go
Oh,
to
okay.
dinner.
Oh,
Let's see
he
each
asked
other.
you out. Oh,
Yes.
okay. Then go. Receive it. Go. Absolutely go. You're not turning anyone down now, are you? You want to find someone else.
I do, but I don't know why it feels disrespectful to my previous boyfriend.
To the guy who refused to marry you? To the guy who wasted your 4.5 years of your life? You're going to worry about disrespecting him? No. Sorry. He
Oh,
didn't
I
cherish your
needed.
feelings, so we don't care about what he's doing now. And he's done. He's been broken up with.
Oh, I needed to hear that.
Yeah, no.
Oh, thank you.
Go enjoy it. In fact, I'm going to tell you, I want you to start duty danging. And that means you're going to go out with men who ask you out whether you're interested or not and give
Oh.
3 dates. Now, if it's a total nightmare and you have a really bad feeling, don't go, obviously. But
Yeah.
if it's like, it's going to be, he seems like a nice guy and it seems, you're not that interested, but he asked you out. Go give it a chance because I want you to pick someone different than who you picked last time. And so you might need to open yourself up to other kinds of people because the last guy you picked is not the pattern we want to continue. You hear what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay. So I like to give people like a few dates that when duty dating, you practice some of the tools that I teach. If you want to be in the feminine or you want to be in the masculine, you pra start practicing that. And I can already tell you need practice receiving and you need practice being given to and relaxing into that. But one way to do that is on these duty dates where the stakes aren't so high because you're not nuts about the person, right? But you're also getting a little momentum going and you're learning about somebody new. And it's possible you could fall in love. I've had many clients who went on a couple dates with a guy and were like, just friends. And actually, with my husband, that's what happened. I met him and I was like, whatever. And I ended up getting married to him and started dating him like 6 months later. So men usually know right away if it's a friendship or not, or if they're attracted. Women, sometimes it takes a moment to get the chemistry going, especially if we're pain addicts and we have history of being with men who don't treat us well. We can look at men who treat us well as unappealing simply because we're not accustomed to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you're in a pain addiction, you're used to that emotional roller coaster, and a nice guy can seem boring, right? And so you need to move past that and get to know the person. And so that's another reason why I recommend give everybody three chances. And if, because also some guys aren't good on their first night, right? They need a couple nights to warm up. If after the third date you're still not feeling it, you can tell them, hey, I've really enjoyed getting to know you. I don't want to lead you on. I don't have romantic feelings for you. So if you want to continue hanging out, it's just going to be as friends. Now, I've had women do that and then ended up dating the guy. So it's a woman's prerogative to change her mind. But I want you to open up to new, just for the purposes of this meeting, I'll keep it short and sweet, but I want you to open yourself up to new kinds of people and try some of this duty dating and absolutely go out with this guy and start practice receiving.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and I hope you'll come back and let us know how it went. Okay. Massimo, is 5 second flirt done by feminine energy? What should masculine? Okay. Is he still here, Massimo? Yes. Okay. So, Massimo, the man also does the 5 seconds of eye contact and smile. The difference is, if that's returned to him, then he makes the approach. So the only difference really is who makes the approach. If you're in the masculine energy, then you approach. If you're in the feminine energy, you make sure the masculine energy knows you're available, but you wait to be approached unless you can find a loophole and you want to use it to ask for help. Okay? So that's how you start the blueprint of feminine and masculine when you go into your next relationship. Okay, you got it. Great. Okay. Does anybody else have a question or a comment? Ashley, do you have another question?
So,
Okay, shoot.
my other question is that, is it normal for a guy like he asked me out for dinner, right? And then when it comes to paying for the meal, right, he literally tells the waiter, to put it on a separate tab. I mean, that I find that that's so rude.
So rude. Agreed. 100%. I think that's a red flag. Yeah. Because if you're doing the asking, then if he's a masculine man, then he should be anticipating paying.
Okay,
Now,
perfect.
it's different once you start are in the relationship. Then you can start paying like two to one, the guy pays. But I mean, again, these are guidelines. It's not one size fits all. You can negotiate this. Obviously, if one person has a lot more money than the other, once you're in the relationship, you're going to negotiate a little bit differently. But sometimes, but that, it, again, that's different for every couple, and there's no one way. But certainly in the courting phase, the masculine energy, is responsible for asking the person out and for paying for the bill.
Right, that's what I thought too. You are so good. I mean, do you actually? I mean, I'm willing to pay you for advice in the near future.
Yeah,
Do
yeah, yeah, yeah. I work
you?
I that's what I do. I mean, this is my full-time gig. I work with men, I work with women, I work with couples, and teenagers.
You're so amazing.
Thank you. I'm so glad you're getting something out of it because that's really gratifying for me too.
Yeah, I'll definitely reach out to
Yeah, hit
you.
me up. You can here, I'll put my credentials in the chat again. So
Thank
you
you.
can, message me through my website is maybe the easiest way, but also
Thank you so much.
sometimes through Meetup or Instagram DM, I get some people often reach out through that. Okay, what do we got here? If you stay in your feminine energy most of the time, does that mean by default you would attract a more masculine man? Yes. So men need to do good to feel good. Okay. They're thinking-centered processors. So that means that they want to be needed by a woman. They want to be able to help a woman. They want to be able to take care of a woman. Okay. If you're so strong that you're taking care of yourself and everything around you, that can often turn off a masculine man because he doesn't see his role there, right? There's nothing for him to do. So yeah. A lot of times, we women, and a lot of women, especially those of us who've gone through childhood trauma, don't really like being vulnerable and have learned to become strong and survivors and take care of ourselves. And ironically, the tools that we use to survive our childhood, which are those tools and served us so well, are tools that will sabotage our adulthood if we c continue on with them. Because being strong is a masculine attribute. So if you're strong, you're going to end up with a feminine man if you're leading with your strength. And a lot of us women tend to lead with our strength, treating dating as a job interview. No, we want to be vulnerable if we want masculine men. Okay. What's this other question? Sal. Can you embody masculine energy? Yes, while still being a nice guy. Sometimes I feel like being nice can come across as somewhat feminine. I'm trying, this is so good. I love this question. I'm trying to find a balance being kind without being too nice in a way that might be perceived as overly soft or feminine. Very good. And it is a nuance and it is tricky. So, what you want to do, where is Sal? Is Sal here? Yeah. Okay. I see you. Okay. So, Sal. Being kind, being nice, cherishing a woman's feelings is very masculine. But if she shows you disrespect, you're no longer obligated to cherish her feelings, okay? But as long as that woman is respecting you, then cherishing her feelings is absolutely appropriate, okay? Does that make sense? Trying to unmute you.
Yeah, love that. Thanks for that.
Okay. And I
That was
know
great.
it's a nuance. You know, it's I know that when I say these things, it doesn't necessarily you don't go, "Oh, okay, yeah, cherish feelings. I know exactly what that is." No, it takes
Right.
part of it is the journey. Part of it is understanding what that means to you, what that means to her. You know, what that means in the context of your relationship, right? It can be something as simple as like, "Oh, she's cold. I'm going to close the window." Or it can be something like somebody else mentioned tonight. I don't know if you were here, but somebody else mentioned, you know, not wanting to be in a polyamorous situation. Are you going to keep pushing when the person says they're not comfortable? Right? So it's partly trial and error. And examples of respect would be listening to your ideas, not taking control, letting you control, you know, praising your achievements even. So things like that. Okay. I hope that made it. Okay, good. That made it clear. Excellent. Okay, what else do we have here? Do. Alice. Are you there, Alice?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I was thinking about your comment about being feminism and let the guy do the work.
Yes.
But a main reason my ex, well, one of the things he has, my ex-husband, he has complained about is he has made decisions and do a lot of things. Although I don't think so, because I do help a lot of things as well, but he, for some reason, think he had done a lot. And so I'm thinking, because there are men also complaining women are needy. So How can we not make them think we're needed and we're still able to be the feminism and have them help us to do things and they are happy to do it? Is there anything typical we should let
Okay,
them
well,
do,
there's like,
something we shouldn't let them do?
right. I mean, there's a few questions in there. Okay, so first of all, if you guys aren't compatible, if he thinks that he's doing a lot and you're not pulling your weight, then you guys aren't compatible because you have literally a different point of view, right?
That's right, yeah.
So there's that. The second thing is there are men out here who take the attitude of, okay, what can you bring to the table? That's their attitude towards the woman, right? And women do that too. I mean, some people are obsessed with strict equality. In my experience, equality kills the chemistry. Equality isn't good for romantic relationships. It's good for friendships. It can work in,
Wait, equality and compatibility, what's the difference then?
okay. So instead of equality, what we strive for is equity, because equity acknowledges the differences between men and women. If we have two men, which is two masculine energy people struggling to do things and control things, that ends up provoking conflicts. You're in a power struggle. And if we have two women, but two feminine energy, obviously this work applies to homosexual relationships because even then there's a top and a bottom, there's a butch and a femme. But if you have two feminine energy people, and I've had a man and a woman both compete for feminine energy before too. If you have two feminine energy people, then you have two people competing f to be taken care of for sympathy, for tears. Okay. So usually that strict equality, that tit for tat, doesn't really work in a romantic relationship. If a guy is coming at you asking for what you bring to the table, I'm gonna assume he's a little more feminine and wants to be taken care of more. So that's why I say you're incompatible, because he wants the taking, he wants the caretaking, and you want the caretaking. So there's no caretaker, right?
Yes,
He
and what
doesn't like doing it. He doesn't want to do it.
from
He's
outside,
getting
he does a
anything.
lot of work. He does a lot of work to show he's masculine. For example, he does scuba diving, does camping. So I thought that's masculine, but at the same time, he's complaining. He's doing a lot of work.
Okay,
I was
so just
thinking.
being like buff and going to the gym or going camping, that doesn't mean you're masculine. And that's why I like to explain the masculine feminine at the beginning, because masculine means, you do good to feel good. If he doesn't have that apparatus working in him, he's either a feminine energy man or he's struggling from ego, he's suffering from ego dystonia, meaning he has unresolved childhood trauma that is pushing him into the feminine energy.
Or is it possible he just want to show his masculine side to me?
Well, there's really no like advantage to going camping and doing all that stuff if he's going and like expecting you to serve him, right? Like the masculinity aspect of it is him caretaking, is him setting up the tent, is him doing all that for to take care of you.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Right. Okay. Well, it sounds like he might.
What about other men would think we are needy? Would that be, shall we be, I always afraid that men think we're needy, we want them take advantage of
Right.
them.
Right.
So how can I show that I'm not needy, I can take care of myself, but I want them to be masculine to
Okay.
give them the boost.
Right. So, of course, anything can be pushed to the extreme, right? You can be too needy. Of course, you can be, right? But a lot of men appreciate a woman who articulates her needs because then they know what to do, you know? So, it's
Okay.
really about finding someone who's compatible with where you're at. And of course, yes, it's nice to be able to take care of yourself. It's good to have that skill, especially as a woman. But let's try to give a man a chance to do it.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to have Amanda do
You
it.
know? Okay. So step back a little maybe and let them control.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I'm gonna wrap it up now. I know I haven't answered all the questions, but I usually do an hour. I will be here next week, I believe. I'm usually here on most Thursdays. This is my one free event, my one free group, but I am available for private sessions. You can reach out to me through Meetup or through my website. And I, again, if you really love this work, you can sign up for the modules as well. We go over the books, we get in pretty deep, we apply theory to our lives, which is fun. And yeah, if I don't hear from you, I'll in the, in before next week, I'll see you back here. Have a good night.